Hello and welcome to Questcast, your weekly adventure through games. It's the end of 2018, so we'll go in by saying what we thought is the best, the worst, and everything in between. Guess we'll get started with what we think the best games were. A lot of it came from Nintendo Switch, actually, because they have just, you know, come banging out the park with all their exclusives. Revitalizing some old series and just, yeah, making good names for themselves. So the first one up is Super Mario Party, which, or Mario Party Ultimate, I can't remember the name of it. That's really good. It includes all the modes, like, so the classic mode, what would you call it, the new mode, Caitlin?
Like the team mode.
Well, the team mode and like the just choose where you go on the blocks mode.
Free path?
Mode? Yeah, that's really good. It adds something new, but like they also give you the classic mode. And if you really want it, that co-op one that was in like Mario Party 7, 8, 9, that, you know, didn't do that well. It wasn't received very well. But yeah, it's just really fun. And like being like, because when you buy a Switch, you get a Joy-Con, which is two controllers. And though the four buttons and the joystick is all you need to play all the mini games in Mario Party.
Mm.
There is some motion control ones, which I'm not the biggest fan of. Like some are all right. Like the barrel, there's like a barrel rolling one where you tilt the controller forward or back. That's fine. But the ones where you gotta like throw, I just don't feel it's accurate enough sometimes. So that's all right. What else about it? Yeah. So just things like, We were playing the other day, and we found a game that we hadn't played, like a mini game we hadn't played before, and we played a fair bit of it with a few friends, and it's just really easy to set up, and just it's a really, really good time to just have with friends. And we have been looking for more co-op games to play and more things to play with people, so that's one of my best games of 2018. Do you agree, Caitlin?
Yes.
That is good. Do you want to talk about Octopath Traveler, or should I?
No, you played more of it than I have.
I have played a lot more of it than you have.
Yeah.
I haven't finished all the character stories, though, because there were a few that I like almost purposefully ignored, because I was just like, you as a character don't interest me. Mm. I might go back and do that. We'll see. But yes, Octopath Traveler. It, for all intents and purposes, is a very grindy game, but it kind of just reintroduces some of the classic JRPG turn-based combat systems with like a revitalizing, fresh way of doing it. Essentially, you play the game and you try and work out each opponent's weaknesses and you fight based on that. The more weaknesses you know and the more diverse your party is. There's 8 characters. You can have 4 in your party at one time. The more diverse your party, with like the skills they have, the better you are at fighting against all the enemies, which is, you know, really good. The music in the game, I also feel, just makes it really enjoyable. Like there are definitely games where you get into like the fight or the battle part of it and like the same song comes on, you're like, ugh, I'm sick of it. This is not one of those games. I can definitely, like, I haven't yet, but I think I'm going to get the soundtrack to it and just have it, because I listen to game music while I'm doing game dev, because it's just kind of motivating in that sense. So I think this will definitely be something to add to that roster. Do you have anything you want to add to it about the game?
Well, I really haven't played that much of it, to be honest, but it was good what I did play.
I can see why you haven't gone fully through it yet.
You've been playing.
Well, because I've been playing. I've only got
one
copy.
Copy of it.
But at the same time, it's not a game you can pick up for 15 minutes. And once you've done one boss battle, because the boss battles take like half an hour, you feel pretty drained. Like,
yeah,
it's a great experience. But you're like, all right, I got through that big chunk. And you know that you have to commit another big amount of time to get to the next boss. So
yeah,
you put the game down. Which is fine. The game is still amazing, but just something to keep aware of if you're going to get it or you're going to play it. Okay, you can talk about the next one, God of War.
Uh-huh.
What are all the pros? There's no cons in God of War, let's face it.
I don't really think that. I don't know. I think story's good, gameplay's good, battle mechanics pretty good. Graphics are obviously amazing.
I want to play it in 4K with Dolby Atmos.
Oh my god. Just get off of that.
I recently have been talking. Well, it's actually that game that made me like think about it, because like the way, like just how,
because of the
how well they've done all the sound effects, I'm like, this would be amazing in like an actual amazing sound system,
because
like it sounded good on the okay. The sound system we have is better than okay. It's better than just having a TV, but it's not like state of the art. So if we got a state of the art one and I played that game, I'd be like, this is intensely amazing.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, like just when I was watching you play it, I definitely felt like this would be like such a, what's the word I'm looking for, when engrossing experience?
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, like it.
Immersive,
that's the one.
What you're getting?
That's what I'm getting. Like, it would be the perfect game for it, I think.
Mm.
I don't know too many other games. Like, there's, because I play, we play a lot of story games like Life is Strange and Detroit Become Human, and like, you don't really, like, you get immersed in the story, but you don't get immersed in the gameplay. Whereas God of War, you get.
Yeah, yeah.
Immersed in like hitting things and doing stuff.
The environment.
Yeah, which I think would really be great for a good sound system.
Hmm.
That's my take on it so far, but I haven't played it. You have.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah, it's.
If you get around to it.
I will get around to it. I do want to, like, it's something that I can wait to play once I get all that good stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man might be another one that.
Yeah. I'd be interested in playing Spider-Man.
Yep.
Or Spider-Man.
Yeah.
To his Jewish friends.
Does he have Jewish friends? I guess he's friends with everybody. He's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. All right. So yeah, we think that's a good game. My honorable mention for this lovely segment is Path of Exile. It came out in 2012, but every year they release, I think it's every 3 months, they release a new season, which adds a buttload of new content. They revitalize the game basically year in and year out, which, while keeping it free, is just amazing to me. Like, they obviously, they take to heart, like, the whole make a good game and people will support it. Because, like, when, I don't know if you've done this, Caitlin, but for me, like, I spent a bit of money after I'd put lots of hours into it. I was just like, I don't feel bad about giving them a bit of money. Like, they earned it.
No, yeah, I bought some of the loot box thingies.
Yeah.
And
it was fun.
For skins and stuff.
Like, yeah, it was nice.
I have a pet lemur, so. You know,
the pets
that's
are pretty
good.
Cool. It makes me really happy when, like, if I get to play a game and it's free and then I feel like they've earned my money, like, I just, it's actually really nice to spend money on that game, because you're just like, you guys did a really good job on this. Like, take my money. It's better than, like, if you, like, saved up $60 and you're like, oh, should I buy this game? I hope it's good. I hope I like it. It's such a different feeling. And I think Path of Exile is a really good contender for that.
Mm-hmm.
Dota would be my other one, but I hate Dota at times, so whatever.
Yep.
That's what we think for the best games. They are definitely some games I think everyone should play. I don't think you should play Super Mario Party by yourself.
That's a lonesome time.
Yeah, like if you have a group of, like, if you have people that you catch up with regularly, or like you could take the game into work or something, Super Mario Party is a great time.
It's also good for like non-gamers as well.
Yeah, like anyone can pick it up. Like, we play it with our young family members that are like 4 and 2, there you go. And they can, like, the motion ones, they have a bit of trouble with, but the ones where you just press the A button and move left or right, like, which is most of the games, is great for them. So let's move on to worst games of the year. And you've got the first one, Caitlin. So you know what that is.
Monster Hunter World.
And why is it the worst game?
Well,
one of your worst games of 2018.
I don't know. You told me apparently it's improved, but...
So, I know they've done a lot of patching for people that I know that are still playing it, and it apparently was much... Or a lot of the things we had problems with were better on the console port, but we played the PC one, which came out in, like, August this year, I think. Mm. But, you know, just what were your problems with it?
The whole, like, trying to play with friends thing was very, like, like, difficult.
Yes, I agree.
To the point of actually just giving up and not playing. I don't know. I also didn't really like the... Actually, yeah, no, my big thing was the whole having, like, if you wanted to play with your friends, then... Like, you all had to have already done that section of the game in order to play it with your friends.
Yeah, for a like game that's like you're meant to play it with friends, yeah. They did everything they could to make sure you weren't playing it with your friends.
Yeah. And then it's like it just gets annoying because, like, first of all, you want to, like, if you all have a game, you all want to play it together and experience it for the first time together.
Yeah.
But secondly, if you have to go and have complete, like, you can only play the stuff that you've completed with your friends, like, it doesn't make it super fun because you're just revisiting everything you've already done.
Yes, very
much
so.
So it's kind of like, it gets very boring, especially when you're playing online with friends and you get to a point where it's like, oh, I haven't done this bit yet.
But everyone else has.
Everyone else has. So it's like, all right, go off and do it. And so then you go off and do it and then immediately come back to the party and then do it again. Like, it's stupid.
Yeah, I and it's not like it's this engrossing story that needed to be single player.
No.
Like,
there's
it's
no
just...
no reason for...
Most of it is like, oh, you know, the big monster's attacking the wall. Kill it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing as well. It's like, most of it was you just had to get to the first cutscene of seeing the monster. And then you could
invite friends.
So, like, why?
Yep.
Is my question. Just why?
Yeah, I think they had a good game. Like, the game had good gameplay. I do have some arguments about that as well. But definitely their management of how people played together really ruined the experience for us. Like, I think we would have played for a lot longer because we did try and get into it because... It definitely seemed like our type of game, but
oh, I love the idea of it.
The game itself
cat
fought
companions.
Yeah, the game itself fought us playing it.
Yeah,
together, which is like we're playing. If we both buy a game, it's because we want to play it together.
Yeah.
So stupid. So absolutely stupid. Any other grievances? So do you have any grievances with the gameplay, or is it mostly just everything else about it?
No, it's not real. Like. Yeah, no, it was just, I think it was mostly the multiplayer thing.
That's
like,
fair.
I reckon if I'd bought it
to play single
by
player?
Myself.
It would have been a very different experience.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have had as many issues with it. I guess if I do, like, sit down and play it by myself, I might, like, yeah, I wasn't, yeah, it wasn't really.
That's really funny, because, like, I was thinking about getting it for you for Xbox, because you had an Xbox. And I wouldn't have been playing co-op with you then. You would have just played it by yourself and probably really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But we didn't wait. You know, it just came out on PC and we were both like, all right. And that's when the problem started.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It was all those, that whole issue of like, yeah, just trying to play with friends and it being so fucking
It's the
hard.
Opposite of Mario Party, essentially. Yeah. For our like, play with your friends game of the, like,
yeah.
2018. Fair enough.
And, I mean, I spent the money on it, so I'm probably will.
Actually, I bought it for you.
Hey? No, I paid you back.
Oh,
I'm
did you?
Sure.
Maybe, I don't know.
Your
money is my money.
Anyway.
My money is your money.
Yeah, I mean, we share money, so. Anyway. What was I? Oh, yeah, no, like, I'll probably eventually make the effort to go back and try and play it. Simply to try and get something out of it. Plus, you know, like, yeah, I like, actually, no. No, I've changed my mind. The other thing is, it just feels like all you're doing is like the missions to collect the parts to make the armor.
Yes, the story isn't that gripping. Yeah. I got it wanting to play with like friends. So me going back to play it single player isn't going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how we go. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was more of a disappointment, and that's what's made it so bad.
Yeah. My realization in the last 2 years is that if a game disappoints me, such as Sea of Thieves or something, and then they become good or they patch in like the better stuff, like I've already moved on to better things that didn't screw up like their first part of the game. You have lost me as a customer. And I think a lot more games need to realize this, that a lot more people are becoming like this. You can't just release a piece of crap and expect people to stick with it.
Yeah.
You can't release it with all these problems, like Fallout 76, Sea of Thieves, Atlas, which we'll get to. Yeah, you just can't do that anymore. The next game we'll talk about is Atlas. Now, my game was going to be Fallout 76, but then Atlas came out a few days ago and was just like, hey, Fallout 76, we're going to take your spot for worst game of the year.
You've had enough shit for now. Well, let's take the spotlight.
So Atlas was meant to release on the 20th or something. A few hours after it was meant to release, they announced something saying, oh, we're having problems. It's going to be a few hours delayed. So people were like waiting for the release. They did that 4 times, which is horrible for like, as far as game releases go, like that's really bad. I mean, they could have been having some legitimate server problems or something, but based on everything that I know from Ark, Survival Evolved, like they did this with their releases all the time. So they're just a horribly organized company. The next thing with it is that lots of people have found hidden menus and things that basically just suggest this was planned to be a DLC for Ark, but decided to make lots of money out of it and release it as a new game. Because anyone who has like the expansion pass or whatever they call it can get the DLCs for Ark free. And I imagine they wanted to pass that. I will give them the benefit of the doubt. They probably realized, hey, this pirate thing's pretty cool and doesn't work with dinosaurs, even though there's dinosaurs in Atlas from what I've seen. We want to make a new theme, genre kind of thing. So that could have been a legitimate thing. It's just very strange that, like, I understand they're probably using the same engine and stuff, but, like, how lazy they've been about, like, the fact that you can get to the old Ark menu in it and it still says Ark up the top.
Yeah.
Like, that's really bad from a treating, like, how you your treat customer your customers.
Relations perspective?
Yeah. Like, I can't believe that was in there for, like, so many reasons. But giving them the benefit of all that, apparently the game just doesn't run well. Their whole thing was like, you know, you'll be it's not going to be lots of servers. It's going to be like one big server, kind of like Eve. But people are reporting there's like less than 200 people in the server they're on. So
maybe not, it's not
really. Yeah. Like, did they just say this and people hope people wouldn't notice?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, there's just been so much bad about this in like the first 2 weeks of it being out. It's almost like a joke, really. Like, I can't believe how horrible it has gone.
It hasn't been great.
So, like, they have not. I've not seen a single good piece of news around it. Like, at least with Fallout 76, like, I saw people being like, "Oh, it's got all these things, but like some of the content's good." But for this, it's just like people get into the game like, it's really buggy. I had to wait like 2 days for it to be released.
Yeah.
The servers are crap. It's basically just Ark. It is Ark with an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into that menu, by the way, it's got all the original Ark maps there. You can't select them. The game crashes if you do. And then if you select ocean, it brings up the Atlas game, essentially. Right. But a single player version of it instead of the multiplayer one.
Right, okay.
So I don't know if they're going to release a single player for it, or that's just a glitch in there and it shouldn't be. Like, there's lots of speculation around that. So, yeah, I think that is the worst release of the year. And, I mean, it could be that it's just fresh in my mind, but, like, comparing it to Fallout 76, they definitely did worse than Fallout 76, and that, to me, what was going to be the worst of the year.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't going to get it to begin with, but, like, now I'd, like, if someone asked me, if, like, I really like pirate games that are open world and can be played with many people, I wouldn't recommend it. Like, I would be like, well, this game. But no, I'll be like, yeah, stay away from them.
Yeah.
Because Sea of Thieves is the other game like that, actually. So open world pirate games are not having a good time right now.
Bad name.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Moving on. NBA 2K19. I really love basketball. When I had my GameCube, I played NBA, I think it was like 09 or something, like the EA one. Whatever year it was, because that's essentially what it is. They just NBA game include year here.
Yeah.
So whenever the GameCube was out, it was that one. 2005, maybe? I don't know. It was really fun, though. I really enjoyed it. Loved playing it. Had no microtransactions. Come to, like, this day and age, and 2K's gotten it, and everyone gets progressively worse with... You can't really pick up the game for the full price and play it without any issue. Like, you get to that grindy stage where you're just like, I can't actually play this without giving the game more money. And if I just want to play single player, that seems really stupid. Like, I should just be out. Like, I'm happy to work at making my character better, but when the game is fighting me on, like, doing that, and there's obviously, like, what the game was meant to be, And then what they've dumbed it down so it makes you feel like you have to purchase more.
Yeah.
Like, if any game ever makes me feel like I have to purchase more to play the single player content, or, like, even multiplayer content if I'm buying a $60 game, to be honest, like, that game's done for me. I'm out.
Yeah.
The end. And if it's something like 2K where I know that that's how it is, I'm just not picking the game up at all.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine... Like, it was bad when it was, I think the last one I got was 2K15 or something, and that started to do it, and I was like, I could still play it, though. And it was a grievance.
Yeah.
But as they've just gotten worse and worse, it's just not interesting to me. And they've got, like, the hubs and stuff now, which are just advertisements. Like, they're like the Nike My Player Center, the Reebok My Team, the, you know, Gatorade Dress Yourself crap.
Right.
Like, it's not like you do not feel like you're playing in a game. You feel like you're being advertised to.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how I feel about it. I assume lots of other people do, because it is mostly negative on Steam. I'm surprised it's not like 100% negative, to be honest.
Well, some people must like it.
Well, that's the thing. They count on people, like, developers that do this count on people that don't care about that and just... They want to be the best. They want to go on multiplayer and have the best player. So they'll spend thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And they have the money to do that. And well, that's great. And they might make just as much money. It's not good for, like, the future of their company. It's not good for the future of, like, how people perceive them. So, like, yeah, it's a short-term win now for monetary gain, I guess, but it is not a long-term success strategy.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing a lot of AAAs at the moment actually lose growth. And it's because of stuff like this. It is stupid.
Yeah.
Moving on. And that's our worst games, actually. That's all of them. So my only other honorable mention would be Fallout 76, I think. Like, it was sad. Like, when you hear the words, I didn't hate that I bought it, like, when your friends are saying it, like, that's it's not what you want to hear about a game. It's meant to be this, like, break from your life that you enjoy, right? It's not meant to be a chore.
No.
So let's move on. The next thing we'll talk about for 2018 is kind of a weird section, but early access games, or not necessarily early access games, but games that have had continued development and look promising that are coming soon. Well, there's a lot of games that like are early access that you would just say you've just released it in development, and
I'm laughing because on your notes you have EA games.
Oh, because it's like EA, but it's
and not. For some strange reason, like, I knew you wanted to talk about early access games, but for some reason I thought you'd put a special section for EA games. And I was like, I don't know why he wants to just talk specifically about EA games. But
I really, really love EA games. They're just my favorite. My favorite company.
My favorite
as well.
EA game of the year.
They have announced that they're bringing back their NBA basketball thing. So I'm hoping the competition of basketball games makes good basketball games again. Because that, like, when EA stopped releasing NBA games, it's when, like, 2K just went stupid with it. Like, we're the only NBA game. We can charge you as much as we want to do anything the fuck that we want. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I would love that competition again. But, yeah, early access games that I feel are deserving of your attention. The first one is Kinseed. It's made by some UK ex-Fable developers, which have really got a passion for kind of what Peter Molyneux wanted to do with Fable, but probably the technology just wasn't there, even with all of his promises.
Yeah.
So essentially, Kinseed's a beautiful 2D top-down isometric game. And you start off and you kind of live through generations. The generations part's not in there at the moment, but like they do weekly devlogs. They have a Discord, which I'm actually on, and read like what they say and any questions people ask. They're always happy to answer them. They're really engaged with the community, which actually makes me see a lot of promise in the project. So that's why I got it.
Cool.
But yeah, you can buy stores. There's relationships with literally every single person. You'll have a family. You'll grow into that family and people will die. And you eventually finish the game by doing an X amount of things, and you're meant to be saving the town somehow. But we don't know that yet because it's early access and they're trying to keep the story not necessarily under wraps, but they're trying not to, you know, give everything away before people actually experience it, which I think is good. Mm-hmm. Kaelin, you've played probably more than this than me, actually. So what are your thoughts? I'm not sure how much you played. I know you played it for like a whole night, though.
Yeah.
I've kept up more with the development than I have actually played it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it was good. I guess there's probably a few things that they need to pan out and, like, you know, polish up a little bit. But for the most part, it was quite good.
Yeah, I think the stuff that they've got, they've definitely hit the nail on the head for how it should be. Like, just things like blacksmithing, really good. Like, they have like every stage of how it's meant to be, and you can get better at it, and you can have a career in that, and then your character might die, and then your son or daughter won't have a career in that. But I like that you can do that kind of stuff.
I'm
looking forward to the other crafts that they add, because I think they're going to have like tailoring, apothecary stuff, like, and if they put as much detail into all those as they did with blacksmithing, like, it's just going to feel like a very rewarding game.
Yeah.
Which I'm really happy with. The next one is Secrets of Grindia, which is really good. We played the full amount of the story that they had released when probably early this year, late last year, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided not to continue playing it because we were going to wait for it to fully come out. They do a weekly devlog as well. Like, they've released lots of stuff. Like, there are whole new areas that I've seen like a screenshot of, and I'm just like, that wasn't in there when I played last.
Yeah.
It's really fun, and it's co-op, which I feel needs to be more of in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So you all start off the same, I'm pretty sure. Like, you just start off as like a little pixel character with one melee weapon, and then you can choose to level up into magic or ranged or melee, and you can get better with swords, and
mm-hmm.
there's kind of unique skills you can get for all of those things.
Yep.
So as you go through the game, you can choose how you go. Like, the whole point of it is, like, you kind of make your own character and it's its own thing in the world. It's not as in-depth as Kinseed is with, like, how it interacts with the world, like, because you are going through more of a linear story than...
Yeah, you're basically going through levels and, like, fighting more so than story development, I would say.
Yes, but it is very fun. Like, the fighting is very fun and rewarding. And there is a nice skill curve. Like, it definitely gets, like, the enemies definitely got harder as to the content we got to. And I think as you get more abilities that do different stuff, like, there was one where, I think I had the melee one where you kind of, like, shadow warped behind the enemy.
Oh, yes.
That was really fun. And, like, I can see that working with, like, different enemies differently, stuff like that. There was one where you
All the companion things.
Yeah,
like the summons, the rain cloud, and the
it really made you feel like you can kind of make your character however you want. You could do a magic slash melee build, whatever. Yeah, I think people should look out for that. So that's Secrets of Grandia. The other game was Kinseed. Secrets of Grandia is on Steam, and Kinseed's on Steam and GOG, I believe. I could be misquoted on that. I don't know if they're coming out for console. They both have said that they want to, but because it's an early access, it's obviously not feasible to do early access in consoles. I'm not sure if...
good on console, I reckon.
They both would be. Like, they both fit perfectly. Because they both have great controller support on PC, which is unusual for early access games, I find. Because, like, they're just like, oh, yeah, that's coming.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that. But I'm not sure if this is the way. Like, because there's so many indies now, but it used to be that, like, if you were on Xbox, you had to pay them every time you wanted to release a new patch or something.
Mm, yeah.
Which was stupid. So I think that... I don't think that's the case anymore, but if it was, I could see why people wouldn't want to release their early access games where they're doing weekly builds and stuff.
Very true.
It's also just harder to manage on console. So that is our Game of the Year section. That's the first half of today's episode. We'll go into... everyone can have a break. Just think about how that went. What was your 2018 like? Let us know on Twitter. But we'll go into some new stuff that's coming out. I think it's out now, actually. Monster Hunter World Cross Assassin's Creed. It looked... Well, it's Monster Hunter World, so Caelan's not happy. But I actually thought, like, because you love Monster... you love Assassin's Creed and you have Monster Hunter. It's like you essentially get assassins. You can unlock assassins gear for your characters, and I think there might be some new moves you can do, because there's like a chain. I don't know. I think this might be in the new one, but there's like a chain where you can whip to things.
Oh, that's cool.
Which would be cool in Monster Hunter, actually.
Yeah.
It would be very helpful. So Senyu, which is the Egypt one, that's the bird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because we play that game. Yeah, the goal is to get Senyu's feather, which you can use to craft Assassin's Creed gear, essentially.
Ooh, okay.
So, like, the lore for it's actually kind of cool. That being said, I think it's mostly just...
trying to get people...
Well, get people engaged, back into it, which is fine. That's one thing. They have been adding, like, new content and stuff, so, like, people, like, they are doing a great job of keeping people engaged. It's just their multiplayer is retarded.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it seems like it's more, like, there's not, like, a whole new amount of content. It's mostly just, here's some armor, here's a new move, have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
There could be more to it, but from the trailer that I saw and what I read, there's not too much more to it. It's out now, actually, for Xbox and PS4. It is coming soon to PC.
Mm.
So, obviously, their Xbox and PS4 run on the same branch, and their PC runs on a branch behind. Which sucks, but oh well. The other game I was actually going to talk about before we did our Game of the Year stuff was Atlas, but we've already done that. We've already talked about that in our worst games of 2018.
Yep.
And yeah, it is pretty bad. So we'll go on to lovely things that I love talking about, the industry. And speaking of you thinking I was going to talk about EA before, let's talk about EA now.
Talk about EA. Yep.
EA are finally putting Battlefield 5 microtransactions in. So they're going to do this in January, allegedly. And it's just going to be cosmetic. Nothing will affect the gameplay. But from what I saw on like Reddit comments and stuff, like some people were like, oh, this is really good. And then some people would reply to them being like, yeah, but you paid $60 for the game. Why are you happy that this is how they're doing it? Whereas some people said, you know, it's good that they're not doing, they're doing free maps, but having paid cosmetics.
Like, yeah.
There's a lot of different viewpoints to it. I'm not sure I like it. Maybe it's just how I like playing my games. Like, I didn't mind playing Battlefield 3 and buying the map packs, to be honest. Everything in the game was how it was when I got it, and I enjoyed that. I wanted to pick up Battlefield 5. I was like, this might be the Battlefield I go back to. But then they announced the microtransaction thing, and I'm like, actually, like, I like...
Not today.
The only game I've bought cosmetics in is Path of Exile and Dota, and both of those are free to buy. Free to buy.
There is no charge for buying this game.
No, but they're free to play. So, like,
apart from what it costs,
I get the skins to kind of reward the developer for the amount of time I put, and I put a lot of hours into both of those games.
Yes,
which is funny because I paid nothing for them, and they're two of the games that I've spent most of my hours in, compared to like a lot of the $60 games I bought, which says a lot. So yeah, like I was very disheartened to see that, and I was instantly like, it's probably not for me now. Like, I don't mind. Apparently you still can, because they've done it in a kind of you buy currency and then you can upgrade things. So you can still do that without it, but just knowing that they're in there kind of puts me off. How do you feel about that?
I don't know. The whole microtransaction thing is a bit blur to me.
Yeah, as soon as you put one in the game, it just makes me feel like you haven't thought about what the game should be.
I think it comes with a bad stigma now as well.
Well, yeah, definitely does.
Even if you've done microtransactions in it's there if you want to spend the money sort of thing, and it doesn't affect your gameplay. As soon as you hear a game has microtransactions in it.
Well, I'm a big advocate for, like, cosmetics are part of the gameplay. Like, everything in the game is part of the gameplay, because yes, it might only look different, but there's that thing that I was talking to you about the other day where I think it was Halo 3 or Halo 2 or something, and they wanted the shotgun louder.
They didn't feel the shotgun was powerful enough.
The testers would have said the shotgun wasn't powerful enough, so all they did was make the sound louder and like more impactful, and they were like, and they played it again, like, that's perfect, and they didn't change the damage. That the same works for how characters and how weapons and stuff look. Like, people will use a weaker weapon if they feel it is more impactful, even if the stats don't reflect that.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that it might not be a statistical difference, but like, it affects how people feel like they are playing. So therefore, in my opinion, that's gameplay.
Yes.
So, and I liked games where, like, you could do, like, if you played Perfect Dark, you could unlock new multiplayer skins or costumes, what they would call it back then, by doing certain missions in certain ways and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, that was really fun.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know why they're not doing things that actually encourage you to play the game more.
Yeah, they're doing things to make you play the game less, but...
Yeah.
Well, because it's for money, right? It's for...
Obviously, I guess so, but...
Investors want the company to make more money. They don't care if people are having fun. If everyone who played that game had no fun, but they made their money, they'd be like, cool.
Yes.
See you next year.
Yeah. It needs to change.
People need to start voting with their wallet. Like, they can't... In like kind of today's economy and the way the world works, people can't just be like, it is what it is and I'll just deal with it. Like, if you want it to change, you can't have that attitude.
Exactly.
If you like, I know a few people that are like, I don't buy microtransactions, but I'm happy to play the game. Like, you buying that game is still them saying, people don't care that microtransactions are in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand that they still want to play that game, but I think at that point, they don't have the right to say microtransactions shouldn't be in games if they're buying games with microtransactions in them.
Yeah.
My opinion on free-to-play games having them will still always be the same. Like, unless it's tied to progression, I guess. So, like Dota, there are definitely skins that make you feel like the moves are more powerful, especially on ones like Crystal Maiden and stuff. But the game is free to play, so like my opinion kind of changes there. I definitely still think it's part of gameplay, but I think that is there's a better way to do it.
Yeah, so, yeah, definitely.
I kind of feel like I'm hypocritical there, but like I haven't paid for the game, so I can't expect
everything to be free.
Like, but if I've paid $60, I expect every part of the game especially stuff that comes like with the game, and then you still have to get microtransactions for it. Like if a game comes out and has microtransactions, that's them saying, we've already made this stuff, but you should have to pay for it.
Yeah.
We don't respect you as a customer.
Yeah, exactly.
My next topic for people ripping, or companies ripping people off, G2A, my favorite thing to hate. G2A has started or notified that they're going to start charging users for not logging in. After 180 days, if you have not logged in, your credit card or debit card or whatever you have, or PayPal maybe, will start getting charged $1 a month to keep the service active. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Their explanation, air quotation marks, was that it costs to have servers and to keep data on the servers. If they are having so much trouble getting money that they have to charge people for their own accounts on a server, where, let's face it, let's say their one row in the database for each user is like 60 fields. Even then, that is such a negligible cost that there is no way someone needs to be paying a dollar.
Mm.
They are just money-hungry, greedy people that do not care about the games industry, and anyone who says differently is naive.
Yep.
Caitlin, how do you feel about it?
I don't know. I don't... Yeah, like, you know more about it than I do, but...
Okay, from what I've just talked...
From what you've just said, it doesn't sound fantastic.
Yeah, they've been done... Or not done. They have been caught out a few times on selling like illegally obtained keys. Like everything they do is very much to get their money and not to provide a cheaper service to people. Like if they could charge the same price while selling the stolen stuff as like a Steam store, they would do it. 100%. I don't like that people. Well, there's two types of people. There's the people that are like, I don't care how they got it, if they stole it, if they whatever, if I can get a cheap game key, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then there's the people that are like, that just, you know, don't, they think that like, oh, they're trying to make it better for everyone and like they're the good guys. Like, I don't know which group annoys me more.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Yeah, so G2A, they are scumbags. Don't use them. Don't use them ever.
Not even once.
Yeah, like... Well, actually, game developers have come out saying we would rather you pirate our game than buy it on G2A.
Mm.
Like that... How much of a red flag is that?
Yeah.
Like, that's so... That is amazing to me. Like, that shows that, like... Developers know that they're probably not getting any money for the keys that are sold on those sites. So, it just frustrates me. People frustrate me. I get it from like, you know, I've been poor before. I've been, well, not poor, but I've been like, you know, a youth with no money and no job and can't afford games. And, you know, I've had to pirate games before. Most of the time, though, like if a game was really good, I would buy it. Especially, there's been single player games where like I haven't played them after I bought them, but like I pirated it and then it was amazing. Bought it on Steam and then it's just sat in my Steam library.
Yep.
As one of the Steam graveyards. That was when I was much younger. Like now, I can just afford to buy the things. But when I was younger, and this is how piracy works, if I didn't pirate the game, I couldn't afford to get the game. So that wasn't a lost sale. That was just me playing the game. Like, I couldn't afford the game. That's why it happened.
Mm. Yeah.
This is the whole thing with when YouTube or like other people lock regions. Like, if you, oh, actually, Harmon Quest is a great example of this.
Yeah.
If you make it easy for someone to get your content in an affordable way, people want to buy it. Like, there are the people that, you know, think they deserve everything free, and you're never going to get their sales. So, meh. But yeah, if you make it easy and, well, easy and convenient for someone, they'll want to do it the legal way. Like, if it's easier to, like, it's easier for people to use Steam now than it is to pirate games. That's just how it is. So people use Steam. So yeah, that's my rant on G2A. I really, really hate them, Caitlin.
Yeah.
Really, really hate them. But that's fun. I'll live. Yeah, so we took a week off over Christmas, which is good. So let's talk about what we've been playing. Caitlin got this brand new PlayStation 4 for Christmas. We haven't been able to play the PlayStation games as they've been coming out all year and looking amazing. But what did you get?
I got God of War and Detroit Become Human.
So I've been playing Detroit Become Human, and it's really good. Though I know that it's a story-based game where you can't, like, one of your options is you can, like, lose. Like, you can purposely be, like, get this character killed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, my instinct as a gamer is to, like, I got to succeed at this thing.
And even the people you don't like.
Yeah, like, it's...
You're keeping alive.
It's a weird thing, because it's basically just a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, it's not really gameplay, because it's all just quick time events. So...
It's a little bit gameplay.
It's a little bit gameplay, but, like, you could easily... They could easily just provide you with a choice on the screen that says, does he pass this thing, or does he fail? Or does he fail? Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, sort of.
I mean, you still decide what you look at and what you investigate and what you say and, you know.
Yes, yes. You are right. You are very right.
There's
there.
No, like, combat in the traditional sense, but...
It's not Minecraft story.
Right? Yeah. Like, there's still a fair bit to it, because if you miss... some of the stuff, like,
it makes a difference.
It makes a huge difference. So you have to play it, and you have to.
Yep. All right. You're super right. Anyway, I'm really enjoying it. It's just it's hard that I have that kind of urge to want to do everything. Like, I have to succeed, kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think once you do it that way, you'll be more open to going back and seeing what would have happened.
Yeah,
if you did it a different way.
That's very true. All right. What about you? You see, you've been playing God of War.
God of War. Before that, The Witcher 3.
How have you finished that?
No.
No. Okay. You have played a lot of it. That's all.
Yeah.
Like there was
because
just...
I'm doing. I don't know how thorough you were on your playthrough.
I was thorough in like things that were interesting to me. Like I didn't do things just because they were there to do. I very much tried to be like, if someone asked for help, I'd be like, if their thing kind of sounded interesting to what I think Geralt would be interested in, I'd do it.
Okay.
In that kind of game, I'm really not fond of just doing everything because it's there to do.
Yeah.
Because it is meant to be a story. And I think his story is shaped by what you do with it. And that's kind of like the whole choice. Yeah, right?
Yeah, definitely. But there's also, like, choice in how you do what they've asked you to do.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's some things where it's like, oh, like, I don't know, like, you go and try and find someone who's missing and it turns out that person was killed by someone else and, like, you can either choose to, like, turn them in or...
Yeah.
Or shut the fuck up and.
But like I've gone through, I've done a playthrough where I was like asshole Geralt, and like people be like, oh, can you do this thing for me? And I'm like, my asshole Geralt would never, like, he would not give them the time of day.
Yeah,
he would walk past. So yeah, that's how I played my Witcher.
Yeah, well, anyway, I've been doing like lots of stuff off the side. So story-wise, I'm not actually very progressed.
Well, damn.
But that says something about how open and rich the world is of stuff to do.
Now, I've heard, just to go into The Witcher 3 a bit more, now that you've finally played some of it, some people have said to me, oh, they're basically all just fetch quests. I'm like, yeah, but technically everything in every game is just some form of a fetch quest. The thing with The Witcher is I feel like they add story to each one. Like, it's not just you're going to get a chicken. Like, you're getting someone's kid because they were stolen. Because their partner did something bad. Like, everything has a connection.
I don't feel that way either. Like, there's lots of ones where you're just investigating stuff. And so a lot of it's like, you've got to question people. You've got to search for clues. You track down stuff. A lot of it's obviously just killing monsters that are terrorizing the local population.
But it always does it in a story type of way, not just a content feeling kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel that way? Because that's how I felt, but people have disagreed with me on that. And I'm just like, well,
no,
like,
I feel like there's a story to it. Like, for instance, there was
like, I don't feel like it's World of Warcraft where, like, they're just like,
okay.
Sorry, you go.
No, finish.
Well, like, I don't feel like it's World of Warcraft where you just get a notification on the screen. It's just like, Bob wants you to kill 10 chickens. He has no reason why. He just wants you to kill 10 chickens. But I don't feel like that happens in The Witcher 3.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, you were saying?
I was just going to say there was one quest that was like, well, not quest, but side thing where like you would, like if you just happened to be riding past this particular thing, you'd hear like two people talking.
Yep.
About making an offering. And if you stopped and actually approached them, they'd explain that they were making an offering to a god that, like, kept their town safe. And if it wasn't a good offering, then they wouldn't, like, have a fruitful year or whatever. And so you sort of do some investigating because there's, like, a talking statue, first of all. And so you talk to the statue and then you're like, huh. Like, this doesn't seem legit. And if you do some investigating, you find out that it's just, like, some sort of, like, monster thing that's living down in the basement, just taking all of the villagers' food.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
Has been, like, demanding that they give them, like, food and stuff. And so then, like, you can either let the troll thing go and just be like, oh, whatever. Or you can convince it to not take as much or not demand as good a food, or you can kill it.
I believe the term is witcher it.
So, like, it's all very different. And it's not, you know, like, there's a story behind it in terms of, like, you know, the way that you started off this, it wasn't like, go kill this thing that's taking stuff from a village. You discovered it on your own kind of thing. Like, I don't know. I don't find them to be tedious fetch quests.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm not sure why some people that I've talked to have said that, because it's the only game, well, not the only game, but like, the best example of a game that I feel like doesn't do that.
Mm. But and yes. Often it, like, even if it is like, can you go get this thing for me or whatever? You know, you go there and then like something changes and then the quest changes.
Yeah.
And so where it's not like a normal, just go get this thing, pick it up, drop it off. Hooray. Here's your XP. Like, it feels like it's actually, the situation evolves.
Exactly. On a side note, I really like that a lot more. I've seen like lots of talks and stuff about at like GDC and things about in story games having side quests, like a side quest that's not tied to the main story at all, affecting the main story in some way, like starting to do things like that with the
brunt. Oh, that would be cool.
Because, like, obviously,
it would just change the world.
Well, yeah, like you might do, like, let's say you're going through and there's a town that you go to, but you do a side quest before that that destroys the town. So that's not in the main quest anymore. Mm. But like it had nothing to do with what was going to happen at that town. Yeah. Like they're two separate things.
Yeah, yeah.
It's they're talking about a lot of that kind of stuff. And I'm really happy technology's gotten to that point. But I'm also unhappy because there's going to be this point that we get to where if you play the game 5 times, you'll still like not get every ending. So for people that like getting every ending, I've become less of that type of person, but I definitely know there's people out there like they're going to have a hard time.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm kind of like tough shit.
Yeah.
Like what do you want? A truly impactful experience where you feel like you've actually shaped the world that you were involved in.
I mean that like my example is probably very extravagant, but like if you could affect like if everyone's story is
to that point, because I'm hoping that it eventually will, where it's like anything that you do in the world will affect the story.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously we're ages and ages and ages off of that, but, you know, that's the point. Like, you're deciding, I guess, between whether you want to just, like, be a collector, so to speak, of the content and, like, get every ending, or do you want
to experience the content.
To actually experience it and feel like what you're doing matters.
So here's where I think we have to get to for that to happen.
And do you know, sorry, you just a side thing. I just, like, I think also that if it was like that, where anything you do matters and changes something, that means, like,
Mass Effect Andromeda might not have been shit.
Yeah, well, that. But, like, I feel like that would be a positive thing for the gaming industry in terms of there would be people out there who would play the game.
Yep.
And, like, get their ending or get their content or, you know, and maybe even try and get as many endings as they possibly could. But then they would also go and consume media regarding that game as well to see other content.
I agree.
So, for instance, there'd be people who avidly watch Let's Players, and the Let's Players could play that game, but that person could still feel like they want to play that game, and there's enough in that game for them to go buy that game and play it.
Yeah, and they might have a completely different experience.
In a lot of instances, like I know there's a fact, like there's things where I have watched Let's Players play an entire game and then I've gone, yeah, okay, cool, that's enough for me. I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah, that's a hard thing for games, by the way. I know we've talked about it before, but there's something going to happen there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's detrimental for Let's Players as well, because if there's a game I know I want to play, I will not watch a Let's Player play it. So yep. They lose views versus games losing customers.
Yep.
So if there was a happy medium where there was so much impact and content that no matter how many times you played it, like, you know, you'd have to play it nonstop for many, many years in order to get every single possible outcome.
Yeah, like, yep.
That's a happy medium. Then Let's Players can play it, still get their views, and other players, and then those people will still go play the game.
Exactly. I remembered what we talked about in that. It was that I think one of the services was going to any revenue that the person got from the service would split with the game that they were playing.
Yeah.
Or something like
Some
that.
Some sort of like royalty for the.
That is the way that it needs to go forward, especially for single-player games. For multiplayer games, like, people watch it and then they still go play the game because it's not story-based.
Yeah.
But so to where we need to get to, though, where I was going to bring up, is to get to that, I think they need, like, they've got procedural generation for the whole world, basically. Like, you can procedurally generate quests, the game, everything. What you can't do is procedurally generate voices yet. What I like about that and hate about it is once they can do that, voice actors are going to be out of a job.
That's true.
And that upsets me, but you can't. There's just not going to be a way that you can, if you truly want to procedurally generate this whole thing that just living ecosystem, people need to say things that are
organic.
Haven't been recorded or like just out of step, essentially.
Yeah. Because you can tell, like,
yeah, like
I've noticed a lot in The Witcher 3 because I guess that's what I'm playing. But it seems like you can tell if you go off, you know, in the conversation tree and you have the minor subjects that you can discuss with people.
And a lot of them say the same thing.
Well, a lot of them say the same thing, but they all seem to end with a line or like a generic response that could fit with
any part of the tree.
With you then bringing up the next topic.
Yeah.
And more to the point that they fit more so that you could then move on with the actual main part of the conversation. And it wouldn't, like, I mean, I guess that's good in a way because it's not weird.
Yep.
You know, like it's an actual conversation and it wouldn't, you know, how like older games, it's just sort of like say this and then this response. And if that was a conversation, you'd be like, how is, like, this is so fucking awkward sort of thing. But at the same time, you can still very much tell that it's like scripted so that it doesn't matter what you select. It still makes sense.
Yes.
Rather than feeling like an organic actual exchange between characters.
I agree. All right. So that's what we've been playing.
Yeah.
I've been playing lots of I've been playing Detroit, Dota, Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. There's been some other things in there. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Mm.
All right, that's it for this lovely episode. So if you want to see more of our stuff, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is just search Kescast on YouTube. You can go to our Twitter, twitter.com/Kescast. We're on Twitch TV, though we haven't streamed lately. We are planning to do that when we get better internet. We unfortunately have the slowest internet in Australia at the moment. And you can also email us. You can go to our website, kescast.com, which... expect something new there soon. Yeah, I think that's how everyone can contact us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Have a good 2019, everybody. We're hoping some great games come out.